I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined once again by Brian Batko to recap day three of the NFL draft for the Steelers. Brian, we might even get your day two thoughts, because I think when we had you on the live stream on Friday night, we got your Zach Frazier reactions, but not sure we got everything else from day two because you were busy working on the South side. But let's start with these day three guys, just because they're the headlines here at this point. Mason McCormick goes to the Steelers in the sixth round. He's a guard from South Dakota State. Lance Zierlein of NFL.com rates him as an average backup or special teamer. He's 6'4", 309. Surprisingly, his athleticism score among guards at the combine was ranked second. It was a 93, so that's what stood out about him. Zierlein says he's a three-year team captain who brings an incredible amount of starting experience and toughness to the table. McCormick plays with tightness in both his upper and lower half that shows itself when he's forced to make athletic plays. He can be forceful into first contact, but doesn't display the flexation. I don't know. Is that a word, Ryan? Flexation needed to redirect his weight quickly or play with leverage at the point of attack. His clear-eyed pass protection will attract offensive line coaches, and his NFL scout and combine testing should have coaches believing that there is much more to bring out of him as a player. So let's react to him first. We talked at different points, Brian, about guard. Would the Steelers address it, given that Isaac Seumalo, James Daniels are on expiring deals? The position's kind of been addressed in the short term, but in the long term, they could look for some guys. Do you look at Mason McCormick as a guy who can, you know, maybe fill that void when, if and when, James Daniels and Isaac Seumalo move on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably the logic to the pick. But, you know, Daniels is in the last year of his deal. Seumalo still has two more years. So, you know, they're both getting up there in age, more so experience for Daniels, because he was such a young player when he came into the league out of Iowa. But, yeah, I feel like they figure it doesn't hurt to get some more depth on the interior and, you know, position flexibility maybe for McCormick. A lot of teams were looking at him as a center in this pre-draft process. And I guess the book on him at South Dakota State was even that, you know, typically your center is the one calling out protections and, you know, identifying fronts and stuff like that. But McCormick was actually doing a lot of that from the left guard spot, probably because he has been playing there since 1973. So, yeah, I mean, that's I think that's part of it. But I just think the most likely, you know, explanation for that pick there in the fourth round was he's probably just the highest graded guy on their board when they came up. And even if those of us on the outside don't really see it as, you know, a position of need for them. And, you know, if it were me, I probably would have been looking at more of a corner or a D lineman, which they sort of addressed later. But it was a strange pick to me in the moment. But I very much think McCormick can be a productive NFL player. And yes, probably gives them some peace of mind that he could be a starter as soon as, you know, a season from now or earlier, if something goes awry with Seumalo and Daniels. The only thing I'll say, though, about that, Adam, is like, okay, I think if you're looking at the Steelers O-line right now and you're like, all right, which guy would maybe play his way out of a job or maybe you don't feel as good about, or maybe he's just not going to be here much longer, would be Daniels, and he's a right guard. Mason McCormick made all those starts at South Dakota State at left guard. So it's a little bit of a not ideal fit, but I'm sure they believe in his intangibles and willingness to move over to the other side if they need him to.
I should correct myself. Mason McCormick was the fourth round pick, not the sixth round pick. He went pick 19. I think that athleticism score is,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that athleticism score, Brian, is what stuck out to them, just given that that's what they valued similarly in Troy Fa'utanu, right?
Yeah, and they had McCormick down for a visit to the south side as well. I mean, that's obviously a dead giveaway for the guys that they are familiar with and comfortable doing business with. I mean, Mike Tomlin kind of scoffed at how many questions we in the media asked them about those pre-draft visits on Monday, but come on. I mean, it ended up being, yet again, four of their first five, I think. And I guess in the end, the only ones who didn't were Ryan Watts, the final pick, and Roman Wilson. So, yeah, right? Because, yeah, Fa'utanu, Frazier, I mean, he was local, so he didn't count, but Peyton Wilson, McCormick, Logan Lee, they all came to the South Side for a pre-draft visit. So they're telegraphing a little bit. If you get on that list, they're probably going to get, you know, bump. They're going to probably have you higher up on their board than you might think from the outside.
Speaking of Logan Lee, he was the first of the two sixth-round picks. Lance Yohan has him as a candidate for the bottom of a roster or the practice squad.
Woo-hoo, not congrats, really Logan. Impressed with him.
Yeah, his projection was round seven or undrafted free agent. And
hopefully
says
he doesn't have that tightness that Mason McCormick. You never want to play with that tightness in your upper half. But
never want to be too tight. But he says he has good strength, but needs time to ramp it up, and doesn't have as many quick wins as teams will want. Lee's pass rush is very pedestrian, but could improve with better handwork and training. He's a hard worker, but fails to stand out with power, quickness, or pass rush talent, which puts a firm cap on his upside.
Right. Lance Dierlein loves him. Yeah. I like this pick. I mean, it makes sense to me. I tweeted this, like, you're talking about the criteria of a sixth round pick at this point after the, in my opinion, you know, basically home run draft that the Steelers had to that point, other than maybe McCormick. It's just like, hey, he plays D line. You need to try to throw bodies at that and see if one hits. He played defense at Iowa. I mean, that's almost like a Georgia O lineman, right? You know, that's almost like sight unseen. Hey, you could get on the field for that defense. You know, we'll take you. You probably do something at a decently high level, or at least you can fit in and be a cog in a pretty good machine. And yeah, Lee specifically, I mean, another guy, pretty good relative athletic score, I believe. He's got the kind of size the Steelers like in that five technique, DN 6'5", 290. You're sort of just, you know, and an interesting note about him. I had him on the PG big board at tight end. He was my number five tight end because he ran some routes and worked out for some teams doing that at Iowa's pro day. It's pretty clearly not in his future, but it just goes to show what kind of an athlete at that size some scouts think he is. And hey, it's a credit to him that he was willing to even do that, swallow his pride a little bit at the Iowa pro day and do a few offensive things, even though he wants to make his money on the defensive side of the ball. So yeah, I'm not trying to send Logan Lee to Canton or anything like that, but you're pretty much restarting the clock on the Isaiah Loudermilk pick with a different human being, more than likely, assuming Lee can come in here, compete and win a job on the 53-man roster.
Yeah. If you can get a rotation piece, I think that's always something that's useful. If for no other reason, it gives you a chance to keep, some of your other guys a little more fresh. If you know you have someone who can take some snaps in a reliable way. To your point, Brian, his athleticism score ranked fifth at the combine among defensive tackles. That's pretty solid. It's especially for a sixth round pick. So he's got some tools to work with. It'll be interesting to see how he kind of is able to put it together in Pittsburgh.
He was recruited actually as a tight end, Adam, and they obviously once, I think even before he got to campus, they said, "Nah, we're actually going to make you a D lineman, so start bulking up, and maybe you can even put some more weight on that frame and play him as a traditional inside D lineman, whether three technique or even more condensed than that. We'll see. It's just bottom line, I think he's got some versatility, and there's some stuff to work with there with Logan Lee.
Then we wrap things up with Ryan Watts, the last of the two sixth-round picks. Dierlein is not a huge fan of him as a man coverage type of corner. He's kind of suggesting a move to safety could be, where his value as a backup safety or core special teams guy. 4.53 in the 40. But he has his athleticism, again, tested well, tested better than his production and his total score. I think he's Zierlein has him 11th among cornerbacks in terms of his athletic testing scores. So Are we sensing a theme here, Brian, in terms of they kind of liked the raw tools and then they can try to figure out how to coach the player?
Yes and no. I think they've also prioritized a lot of experience in production in these picks this year, really from top to bottom. You know, not a whole lot of one-year wonders or 21-year-olds who played 3 years in school. You know, I think they are valuing the size to some degree, although Fautanu and Frazier maybe slightly undersized for their position and Roman Wilson. But in these late round picks, yeah, I think, you know, maybe want to get some guys with more of the physical traits. And Ryan Watts, I mean, he started his career at Ohio State. You know, they only recruit and offer scholarships to a certain level of physical specimen. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school in Texas. So he's no slouch as far as that goes. Probably my least favorite pick by the Steelers. That tends to be the case with these late rounders because you have no idea where they're looking. Us outside in the media are looking at, you know, the consensus rankings and all that. But I don't really – you've got these tall, long corners who are, you know, are they athletic enough to play corner? Would you have to move them to safety to have any chance? Darius Rush, Corey Trice already in the mix. I would have gone for more of a agile potential inside corner, somebody who can at least compete to be in the slot because you've really got nobody there at this point. But, hey, they like Watts to some degree. I'm not going to nitpick too much, but still want to evaluate every pick. And it is a sixth rounder. It's not like you're just throwing away a seventh. And I'm usually on these post-draft podcasts for the PG saying, don't throw away any pick. You know, you can always hit on any pick, even if it's the last pick. Brock Purdy, proof positive of that. Don't just mail it in when you get to that those numbers that start with a 2 and a 4 at the end of the draft. So, yeah, don't love Ryan Watts. Don't really love and then it's not like I'm studying his film or anything. I'll just be honest. He wasn't really on my radar, but that's sort of baked into me thinking it's not the most sensible pick. I believe Pitt cornerback MJ Devonshire, even the corners from Penn State, all still available at that point in the draft, right? Adam, Johnny Dixon, Kalen King, Daquan Hardy. So I think all those guys maybe had a little bit more versatility that the Steelers needed, but maybe Watts will be an all-pro guy a couple years from now, and we'll all be forgetting that I said this.
Maybe, or maybe, you know, he'll
be Trey Norwood. Yeah,
maybe he'll just work his way into, you know, kind of, you know, little limited contributions, which, you know, sometimes that's all you these teams want from these draft picks, even though, you know, fans, media all want them to hit and all become stars. They're not going to be it. Sometimes it's just a matter of, can you get a decent player out of it? And I think that's, you know, just to clarify the point I was making, is definitely on day three, it seems like the athleticism is the thing that's standing out more so than some of the other stuff.
Yeah, what'd you say? 6'3", 200, 4'5", 40, run down, crack some heads on special teams. Ryan Watts might justify his pick that way before we know it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think they have some things to work with. It's a question of whether they can coach them up and develop. And I think that's what's going to make, you know, if this is going to be an all-time great draft for the Steelers and not just a good one that people feel good about from those top picks, it's going to be from these guys kind of working out, panning out, figuring things out at the NFL level. Brian, we got your thoughts on Zach Frazier last night, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Peyton and Roman Wilson. The Wilson brigade here in Pittsburgh between them and Russell Wilson. It sounds like you're a fan of the pick. I know we were on the stream last night. I know Jason Mackey was with me this morning, but I just wanted to give you a chance to sound off on that a little bit.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Yeah, I mean, they should have traded for Zach Wilson when they had the chance, flesh out that quarterback room. But yeah, I think Roman Wilson, Peyton Wilson, two more really good picks, and especially because they, you know, they didn't have to trade up. They didn't have to reach for either one. I mean, they just fell right to them, and it seems like that's been happening a lot the last couple of years. And I've been telling people, look, maybe the Steelers are getting lucky. Maybe they're just really good at kind of having a feel for the value of these guys and who's going to be around when they're on the clock. So, you know, you give them credit for that. But if it is just serendipity, then, you know, good for them. And we'll see. I mean, these guys still have to prove it. But right now on paper, getting Roman Wilson at 84 makes a ton of sense to me. Similar body type to Deontay Johnson. Can he be a similar player? We'll see. But I like a lot of the signs, you know, being that productive at a run first offense like Michigan. It seemed like every time they threw him the ball, big things happen. He told us at least last night that he's willing to block his butt off if it means winning a game. That always sounds good. Can he do it at his size in the NFL? It'll be a little tougher, but we'll see. At least he's got the desire. And then I think Peyton Wilson might be the pick of the draft, falling all the way to 98. And obviously part of that was, you know, the medical concerns from other teams, I'm sure. Also another older guy. But to me, you know, much like Darnell Washington a year ago, you just get to a certain point where the potential reward and his athleticism, production, leadership traits outweigh the risk of he might blow out his knee and never play an NFL game. So I think it's a great move by the Steelers, who need more talent at inside linebacker. I'm not going to count on anything from Cole Holcomb this upcoming season. And Elandon Roberts is a guy who's probably in the final stages of his NFL career, as well as he played last year. So good on them for being patient, getting Peyton Wilson, who they obviously did their due diligence on with that pre-draft visit. I'm sure a lot of medical checks were done, and he passed enough for the Steelers. So he could help them right away. And, you know, who cares if he makes it to a second contract, if he gives you a high level of play as a third round pick for a few years.
Brian, get you out of here on this. I think the one position that we talked so much about that they didn't address until their last pick, really, and certainly not in an obvious impact way, is cornerback. A conversation we've had is, what's the Steelers' level of belief in the Darius Rushes and Corey Trices of the world? Do you look at this draft and say that there's got to be some level of belief that those guys can fill roles that we've been talking about and maybe play bigger roles than – Darius Rush was brought in as a free round pick. Do you think that they believe they're going to outplay those labels to some extent?
Maybe, but also I made this point to Carter in one of our recent podcasts. I just don't think they value the slot corner position all that much. And, you know, maybe Ryan Watts can play outside corner in the NFL for them. And at which point, yeah, it would become sort of adding to that inside corner mix after letting Chandon Sullivan walk and releasing Patrick Peterson, the two guys who sort of had to fill in that role for Cam Sutton the year before, who had to fill in that role for Mike Hilton the year before, like, and Arthur Millett was around as well, part of that revolving door. So I just think they don't really prioritize spending a lot of salary cap, compensation or draft capital on that position. I can remember years past where we're kind of sitting here having this same talk, and it's basically like, yeah, why didn't they go get I think Sean Wade from Ohio State was one of those guys a couple of years ago, or Darius Washington from TCU, Clark Phillips III from Utah. I think that was last year. It's just, it always sounds good on paper and it makes sense from afar, but I guess the Steelers are just kind of like, hey, in this defense, we've got, you know, so many game changers elsewhere. If you're an undersized slot corner guy that we're not going to trust to cover a ton, you just need to make plays when they come to you via the scheme. And, you know, we're not going to overinvest in who we have doing that. If we find a Mike Hilton as an undrafted free agent, awesome. You know, he's going to elevate, but we're not going to really go out of our way to try to corner that market, no pun intended. So, yeah, I mean, hey, we talk about sometimes the late round picks can make a draft class. Sometimes the undrafted guys can make a draft class. So we'll see who what names trickle in. That usually happens late tonight once the sun goes down and we get into the twilight of random dudes tweeting that they've been invited to Steelers rookie minicamp, or they're going to sign an undrafted free agent contract here. And it's been a bit since the Steelers really hit up. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Jaylen Warren was one of those guys after the 2022 draft a couple years ago. Maybe they'll still yet get one of those slot corners who piqued our interest in the pre-draft process to some degree. 50 years after the 1974 draft produced Donnie Shell in that vein, maybe it's instructive to wait and withhold judgment a little bit until we see how many first-year guys they can onboard here via various ways, now that I think they're pretty much done in the draft as we record this with the seventh round still in progress.
Well, and you mentioned Cam Sutton, and our Jerry Dulac was reporting he did meet with the Steelers. What's your read on that situation? Is he the possible wrinkle here that we're looking for?
Could be, and I still think Patrick Peterson returning on a one-year deal could be a wrinkle too. They've got a couple options there. I don't know where the Sutton thing's going to go. I know Mike Tomlin was asked about him when he was on the run still in Florida. Tomlin was at the owners' meetings and basically said he had spoken to him recently, but wasn't certainly going to get into what they discussed. There's things that have to take place there with the legal process as well, and I'm sure the Steelers need to make sure that everything is up to their standards in that regard. I know how highly they think of Cam Sutton and have since they drafted him in the third round back in 2018. So I don't know. That would be a controversial decision. Even if there are no charges that stick against him, it's still a guy who was accused of doing some pretty heinous things and was on the run for a little bit, eventually turning himself in. The Lions whitewashed their hands of him very quickly. So I don't think I certainly would not sit here and say that is an easy call to bring back Cam Sutton if he's free and easy and in the clear and available. So could be a wrinkle, could produce nothing, but certainly an interesting tidbit there from Jerry nonetheless.
We'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on Patrick Peterson, and we'll keep an eye on those undrafted free agents. Brian, I'm not sure if you're going to be back on Monday or Wednesday, but certainly you'll be back on Tuesday on the Chip Tamman Football Podcast, breaking things down, reacting more to the draft after we've digested a little bit more. I'll be back Thursday with Paul Zeiss. And of course, Christopher Carter has the North Shore Drive Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you don't miss anything coming out of draft weekend. We'll have all kind of analysis. Please like this video if you enjoyed it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. At the end of a long weekend, we really appreciate that. Brian, any final thoughts before I let you go?
No, I don't think so. It was another good draft by the Steelers. I came into the weekend sort of trying to tamp down expectations a little bit of like, look, it's just simply not going to look as good at the end of the day when you don't have the first pick of the second round and you don't have another second rounder on top of that. And, you just don't have that level of capital. And yet I think this draft has people just as excited for the most part as last year's did. We'll see what happens. I really liked the haul that they walked away with 2023. Maybe this one not quite at that level, but it's close, because I simply look through at the picks and I really don't think there's anything I would have done differently if I were if anybody was dumb enough to put me in the GM chair.
Yeah, I think the only question I have is how long is it going to take for these guys to really get integrated into the lineup and start making the impacts people want them to make. I think certainly you're going to get every opportunity, but sometimes it takes a little time. So that's the only way I'd temper expectations, is even if you feel good about this class, you sometimes have to look at through 3, 4, 5 year lenses rather than just what are they going to do in 2024. So,
sure. Yeah. I mean, even Troy Fatanu, like maybe I would have picked Graham Barton there in a vacuum, but then you wait another 24 hours and Zach Frazier slips to you at center. I think the Steelers probably did the right thing. I think any combination of Barton and tackle X probably would not have felt as good as far as instant impact as Fautanu combined with Frazier. There are some other things that maybe make you wonder. Some of these guys have injury concerns in their history. Roman Wilson's college coach, Jim Harbaugh, his Chargers picked a similarly sized and athletic receiver in Ladd McConkey over Roman Wilson. So there's little things you can find to maybe poke holes. But no, by and large, I think they did a really good job here at addressing it's always interesting because we perceive their needs on the outside. There's no guarantee that they view it the same way on the inside. But for the second year in a row, it seems like that was the case. And one other interesting thing that I kind of noticed, and I don't know if you did too, Adam, was it seems like these two drafts conducted by Omar Khan and Andy Weidel match up more closely to the general media consensus on prospects.
You mentioned that last night on the stream. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the final Kevin Colbert drafts, I mean, nothing Belichickian, but there were Mike Mayock Raiders-esque, but you know, there were picks in the middle rounds that you're kind of just like, you know, you pull up NFL.com or, you know, you pull up this mock drafter or that mock drafter, and this guy was going off the board in the seventh. Why did they just take him in the fourth? Or this guy was projected sixth and they just took him, early fifth. Terrell Edmunds here is a good example of, you know, that was out of left field. That was a really strange first round pick. Obviously it's a small sample size now with two drafts in the new regime, but that's probably a big part of the reason why all of us are liking these drafts is that they happen to match up with the scouting reports, ratings, rankings, and grades that we consume voraciously from January until the end of April.
Yeah. And I wonder, is that
for better or worse? That doesn't mean it's going to work. And I'm certainly not saying the Steelers are taking their draft cues from Dane Brugler or anything like that, but it just seems to be a little bit more in line and less sort of head scratching picks and me scrambling to find out where a guy went to school when the Steelers take him in the fourth round.
Yeah. And I mean, if it doesn't work out, you're going to be saying, was this the tail wagging the dog type of thing? But we're probably several years from having enough data to arrive at that conclusion. But Brian, thank you for stopping by. I already did the plug, so just subscribe and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.